We look at the Word of God this morning. We look at, go forward here, the signs of the times, the sermon series of part one. You have your Bibles, turn to Matthew. Matthew chapter 24. We'll read verses 32 through 44. We'll read quite a few verses here. We'll have that for you on PowerPoint as well. Signs of the times. They're all around us. I'm so glad Siri had the choir sing that song, Signs of the Times. That's a great song. They did a great job, didn't they? I loved it. Reading from the Word of God, Matthew 24, verse 32. Now, learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. Surely I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Amen to that. Amen. What a great word that is for us today. On April the 12th, 1912, the world's largest ocean liner left Southampton, England. And it began her maiden voyage across the North Atlantic. There were 2,200 folks on board. Well, 4 days into their voyage, everything was running great. The skies were blue and clear. The last thing on anybody's mind was the fact that there would be danger ahead of them. Well, the captain, a fellow named Edward Smith, he was a seasoned captain and sailor. And it was rumored that he would likely retire after this particular journey. And besides, everybody had proclaimed that this great ship, the Titanic, was unsinkable. Well, a young girl named Eva Hart, she was only 7 years old. Her mom and dad and her had originally booked another ship, but the weather had prevented the family from traveling on that ship, the ship known as the Philadelphia. So the family was offered a second class berth on this ship, the Titanic. Well, Eva's mother was very troubled by sort of a premonition that she had in her spirit that something dreadful would happen. Well, on Sunday morning, April the 14th, the ship received a wireless message from another ship, the SS Caronia, reporting that icebergs had been spotted a few miles north of the Titanic's plotted course. Well, later that day, another warning came from the steamship Baltic, and it also gave reports of passing icebergs with a large quantity of field ice. Then a third message was received from another ship, the California, and it reported ice just 19 miles north of the course that the Titanic was on. It even provided the coordinates as to the location of the ice. Then finally, another notice came from the German liner known as America, and it sent a message with reports of seeing very large icebergs. And finally, a second message came from the ship Californian stating, "We are stopped and surrounded by ice." Now listen to what the Titanic's radio operator said in response to that message that says, "We are surrounded by ice." History shows that the Titanic's radio operator responded and said, "Shut up, I am busy." On April the 14th, that evening at 11:40 p.m., the Titanic struck an iceberg. 7-year-old Eva was asleep, and Eva's mother woke her husband, and her father wrapped her in a thick, heavy blanket. and quickly led his family topside. At this early stage of the collision with the iceberg, there was no panic or perceived danger. But as a precaution, Eva and her mother were loaded into a lifeboat, and they waited with themselves wrapped in blankets in the bone-chilling air of the night. After assessing the damage, Captain Smith confirmed that the ship was indeed sinking. And then he gave orders for everybody to fill the lifeboats. Of course, that's when panic set in. The Titanic went down in just 2 hours and 40 minutes. When it went down, it took 1,512 people with them to their watery death 2 miles deep below the icy Atlantic waters. Eva Hart and her mother survived, but Eva would never see her father again. Think about that story for just a minute. Messages, message after message, and warnings, multiple warnings, finally followed by tragedy. Like the iceberg warnings of April 1912, the Bible prophecies alert us of the end times that are about to take place on this earth. The Bible prophecies warn of approaching danger, and they give clues on how to avoid catastrophe. That clue is to know Christ as your Savior, by the way. When we heed the clues, we're saved. When we ignore the clues, disaster is inevitable. We look around, all of us do this, I know we do. You look around at all the events of the world. You look around even at the events of our own nation. The evil that is growing, even evidenced by what happened here near our own community yesterday. And in reality, what we're seeing is that we see icebergs all around us, don't we? They're all around us. Humanity is on a collision course with God's coming judgment. But we also have the hope of the soon return of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So, indeed, this world and humanity is racing full speed into the night with a rendezvous with global catastrophe that will be brought about as a result of God's judgment in the period that we know is the tribulation period. Many compelling moral and cultural and geopolitical, as well as biblical evidence, indicates that we are very close to the end times described in Scripture. We know who this fellow is. At least we do, because we see that ark in the background and the animals. We see today, we see around us today a generation much like the one in Noah's time. We read that scripture earlier where Jesus warned it would be like it was in the days of Noah. And like the captain and many on the Titanic, folks have no concern at all, do they? You look all around us in our own country, around the world, folks don't have any concern. They don't even believe in an end time judgment. They think that the story of Noah and the ark is nothing but a fairy tale. They think the obliteration of humanity is just pure fiction. They don't believe any of it. And I tell you, nothing seems to convince them. The signs of war, earthquakes, famine that ravaged the earth, it seems to mean nothing to them. If you actually believe, as I do, and I think many of you do, if you actually believe in these end time signs, then you're labeled a kooky, Bible-thumping, unintelligent religious nut. And so we just dismiss you completely because you're a nut. We don't believe any of this stuff. Besides, folks will say, God's not going to bring harm. God's a God of love. And so just keep all your silly views to yourself. And that way folks won't think you've gone up on the deep end. Yeah. That's what folks say to us that say we believe the Bible and believe what God's Word warns us about. Let me ask you this question. Do you feel like Noah yet? You feeling like Noah must have felt during his time? Nobody believes. This sermon series is going to take an in-depth look at end-time signs with the goal of seeing the deterioration of the world and our own nation through the lens of the Word of God. We'll see it through the lens of the Bible. And when we do that, instead of fear, we see everything around us. We could be fearful. If you look at everything going on around us, you could fall into fear very easily. You see all of the everything just seemingly falling to pieces, so to speak. But in the words of the great prophecy Bible teacher Jan Merkel, it's not that everything's falling to pieces. The fact is, the pieces are falling into place. They're falling into place for the end times. The signs affirm that at any moment, at any hour, at any minute, Jesus can call us home. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, with the words at the end of the book of Revelation. Bible teacher Mike Gendron made the following observation. Look at these words with me. The first 2,000 years of human history ended when the wrath of God was poured out on sin in the flood. The second 2,000 years ended when the wrath of God was poured out on sin at the cross. And the third 2,000 years will end with God pouring out His wrath on sin during the tribulation. So you look at those words, we are at the end of that 6,000 years referenced in this quote, aren't we? We're on the threshold of the rapture of the church followed by the tribulation. I love Dr. David Reagan. I just consume every one of his books when they come out. Dr. Reagan has pointed out in one of his books that in the book of Hosea, there is a prophecy that substantiates what is known as the millennial day theory. Now, don't check out on me here mentally when I say that. I know it sounds kind of way up there, but just stay with me for a minute. This ancient theory dates back to the earliest days of Judaism and was endorsed by many of the earliest Christian writers. This theory states that the creation narrative of 6 days of work followed by 1 day of rest, that creation narrative is a pattern for human history, and that it will be manifested in 6,000 years of toil and warfare followed by 1,000 years of rest and peace. The 1,000 years being the millennial reign of Christ. That's the rest and peace. This passage seems to confirm it. Look at these words with me in Hosea 5 and 15 and then 6, 1 and 2. I will go away and return to my place until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face. In their affliction, they will earnestly seek me. Then verses 1 and 2 of the 6th chapter. Come, let us return to the Lord. For He has torn us, but He will heal us. He's wounded us, but He will bandage us. He will revive us after 2 days. He will raise us up on the third day that we might live before Him. This passage indicates that the Messiah, Jesus, is going to return to heaven and He's going to stay there until the Jewish people begin to seek Him in the midst of their affliction. They will seek Him in the midst of their affliction during the tribulation. But we also know that thousands, perhaps millions of Jews will be saved during the tribulation. In fact, there's going to be the preaching of two witnesses, miraculous signs and wonders. There'll be 144,000 Jews that will take the seal of God. They'll declare that Jesus is the Messiah. They'll be saved. They'll be born again. 12,000 of each tribe. And you'll have 144,000 evangelists going all over the world saying that Jesus is the only hope and He's the Son of God. Yes, there'll be many saved. So when you look at these words, then it says, then this will occur after 2 days. 2 days meaning 2,000 years. And in response, that means 2,000 years after Jesus is crucified and rises and goes into heaven. And in response, the Messiah will return to save the Jewish remnant. And it goes on to say, then they will live before Him. That'll happen during the millennium for a third day. That third day representing a final 1,000 years. They'll live before him for a third day. It's the same sequence that's revealed in the book of Revelation. It's the same sequence that's revealed in Zechariah chapter 14. Do you remember when we started this sermon, Jesus was saying that when you see a fig tree and it starts to put out buds and green leaves, you know that means that summer is near. Those signs tell you, we know it's about to warm up and be summertime. And so the Lord is saying to you and me, I'm showing you and sharing with you signs to tell you that it's about to happen, that the end times are about to take place, that Christ is about to call you home. We looked at that scripture in Matthew. Look at Mark's Gospel 13 and 32. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. That hour, speaking of that hour that Jesus steps out on the clouds and calls us home, it's the rapture of the church. Yes. So it says, take heed and watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. That's the message to us today. Christ's return should not be a surprise to those that know him. Christ's return should not be a sudden surprise to those that are reading and studying the Word of God. Because the Holy Spirit gives us understanding to tell us that his return is imminent. The writer of Hebrews tells us that believers should encourage one another as we see the day approaching. You know this verse. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Is the day approaching? Yes, it is. Oh, let us exhort one another, encourage one another, and bless one another. Matthew 24 and 33, Jesus tells his disciples, when you see all these things, recognize that he, the Son of Man, Jesus, is near right at the door. I'm telling you, Jesus is at the door today. He's standing at the door. There are so many signs that tell us that those of us that are watching and waiting for the rapture, that we are literally living on borrowed time, so to speak. We are. Many signs tell us if we're watching. Many signs are there for us. Dr. David Reagan, again, has done such a great job of his writings about end time signs and events. He broke them down into six categories. Those six categories would be nature, society, spiritual signs, world politics, technology, and Israel. Those are all distinct signs that were in the last days. And so today, we take just a minute and look at this signs of nature with me. Look at these signs of nature that's mentioned in the Bible. Famines and earthquakes, Matthew 24:7. Great earthquakes, plagues, famines and terrors and great signs from heaven, Luke 21:11. Signs of the sun, moon, and stars, Luke 21:25. Roaring of the sea and the waves, the same verse. Men will faint from fear when the powers of the heavens are shaken. That's thought by some to point to the fear inspired by the threat of nuclear war, which will be part of the scene during the great tribulation period. Jesus tells us in Matthew 24 and 8, he says, these signs will be like birth pains. Birth pains. That means that they will increase in frequency and in intensity the closer we get to the Lord's return. And that is exactly what is happening all around us today. We're witnessing all these things in our nation. We're witnessing all these things around the world. We're seeing weather calamities happening more frequently, causing greater damage. Hurricanes, tornadoes, and earthquakes, and floods, and forest fires. They're happening almost daily if we're paying attention. And additionally, famine continues to rage throughout Africa and other third world nations. And plagues like AIDS and SARS and Ebola, COVID-19 and monkeypox continue to challenge scientists and doctors around the world. Even old diseases that we thought had under control are suddenly coming back with renewed power and ability due to the development of antibiotic-resistant strains of these old diseases. Take earthquakes, just as we look at signs of nature for a minute. Let's look at earthquakes. In the decade of the 1980s, There were a total of 1,085 earthquakes that measured 6.0 or greater in magnitude. The next decade, in the 1990s, there were 1,492, an almost 50% increase from the 80s to the 90s in the number of earthquakes. The statistics show that if you look at the earthquakes that are measured at 8.0 or greater in magnitude, that there were a total of 1,591 of those in the first 10 years of this century. And statistics show us, that means a great increase in the magnitude, as well as their intensity increase, as well as the number of them. And statistics show that earthquakes are rapidly increasing from an average of 300 earthquakes a year in the 1980s, to 490 a year in the 1990s. And in the 21st century that we live in today, there's almost 900 earthquakes a year. It's increased 300% from the 1980s. God is looking down right now. He's looking down at us and He's saying, are you getting the message? Are you seeing the fig tree leaves popping out? Do you understand that the signs are pointing to it's coming, its season is here. It's coming any moment, any day. He's saying, I've told you to watch for these signs that my son is about to call you home. You know, even after the church is taken out of the world at the point of the rapture, the Bible tells us that during the tribulation that the signs of God's judgment in nature will continue and actually multiply. Look at these examples I'm talking about. Darkness as the sun and moon did not give light, and the stars fall from the sky, Matthew 24 and 29. These are events happening during the tribulation. War-induced famine will lead to the death of one-fourth of the world's population, Revelation 6, 1 and 8. A great earthquake will move every mountain and island. Now that's an earthquake, folks. Think about it. Every mountain and every island in the world will be moved by that earthquake, Revelation 6, 12 and 14. Hell and fire will fall upon the earth and burn one-third of the trees and green grass, Revelation 8 and 7. Something like a great mountain will fall into the sea, corrupting a third of the water, killing a third of the sea creatures, Revelation 8, 8 and 9. Another great star, by the way, in Revelation, it references that star by name. The star is called Wormwood. Another great star will fall from the sky and poison one-third of all the fresh water on the earth. And it'll be like wormwood, according to the Bible. And we're going to dig a little deeper into that specific sign on a later date in another sermon. Then in addition to that, finally, it says that people who accept the mark of the beast will be inflicted with loathsome sores, malignant sores. And then finally, the sun will then flare. The sun will then flare and scorch mankind. You see these people claiming global warming, they're right, aren't they? I can remember in the 1970s when I started college, they had all these warnings out about an impending ice age. The earth was getting cooler and they were concerned about it. It was an impending ice age. Then it changed in the late 80s. In the late 80s, it became a message of catastrophic global warming panic. And because they didn't have a whole lot of evidence to show how much the earth was actually warming, they changed the phrase from global warming, and they now call it climate change. It's all about climate change. There was a fella in the U.S. Senate just in the last week. He's been interviewed by the senators, and he's a proponent of the climate change. We've got to change everything. We've got to corrupt the whole economy of the United States. We've got to quit drilling for oil and gas. We need to just shut it all down, because if we don't, there's going to be catastrophe. And that's his message. And so one of the senators was asking him, he said, well, now, if we do everything you say, we don't have any more fossil fuels, there is no more CO2 going in the atmosphere, and we do all of that right here in America, how much of a difference will it make in the global temperature? That's a reasonable question, isn't it? Just the wholesale change this country, what completely, what's going to be the result? How much of a change in the world's temperature will take place if we do everything that this global warming alarmist was declaring we must do? That was the question he was asked. He was asked repeatedly by Senator Kennedy of Louisiana that question, and he could never give a straight answer. All he could say was, well, if we don't do it, it's going to get a lot worse. It's because they don't know. They're all about power and control. Their concern is not for the atmosphere or anything else. That's a whole other story. Dr. Dave Reagan, he points out that the Bible does prophesy about a super hot time coming when God will envelop the earth with fire and he'll burn away all the pollution of Satan's last revolt, and all of this will occur at the end of the millennial reign of Christ. You see, out of that fiery inferno where the earth just burns, it's consumed, and the heavens are burned, out of that fiery inferno, we're going to have a first-class seat up in heaven watching it all happen. And the Bible says that out of that will come a new earth. A new earth, and it'll serve as the foundation for the new Jerusalem. And the description of that new Jerusalem is in the book of Revelation. It is beautiful, it is majestic, it is fantastic, and it will be our forever home. Our home. So in a way, yes, true global warming is on its way, so to speak. But it won't happen because what man's doing in CO2. It'll be happening because the hand of God comes down and his judgment is on this earth. Meanwhile, the church... Oh, the church, we must wake up to the signs of nature all around us and other signs that are converging for the very first time and be aware of it. Our choir sang that song. I loved it. Signs of the time are in the air. There's a brand new feeling in the air. Keep your eyes where? Upon the eastern sky. And lift up our heads. Our redemption draws nigh. When we look at all these signs, we rejoice and we say, yes, the pieces are falling into place. Any day, any moment, Christ will call us home. That image, I love this image. Christ stepping out on the clouds. The voice of the archangel. The last trumpet. That's another great sermon opportunity. There's a great meaning when it says the last trumpet will sound. That's the word of God. It says the last trumpet will sound. When that happens, you know what happens next, don't you? I love it. There we go. We're going to heaven. I tell you, we are going to heaven in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Oh, praise God for the hope we have today. We see all the signs around us. Lift up our heads and know it is soon. We see all the signs around us. May it put a passion in our hearts to pray for our lost family members and our lost loved ones that need Christ as their Savior. May it put a passion in our heart to be a witness and a light in this world to share the good news and the hope of Jesus, because the time is short. We are living on borrowed time. Jesus is coming soon. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me today? Father, I thank you for the eternal truth of your word and the ministry of your Holy Spirit that affirms and confirms this in our hearts. God, let it bring faith to us. Let it bring hope to us. Father, if there's anyone here today hearing my words that doesn't know for sure that heaven is their home, Father, I pray the Holy Spirit would break through into that heart, into that mind, then reach out in faith this morning and ask you to forgive them of their sins. And invite Jesus to come into their heart and be their Savior. That simple prayer, that simple step of faith, acknowledging Christ as Lord, inviting Jesus to come to our hearts and be our Savior. I pray there's someone here today that doesn't know Christ. Let them pray that prayer. Let faith and hope come into their heart and life. Let them believe and trust in Jesus. Oh, Father, I thank you for this ministry of the Holy Spirit, touching our hearts today and blessing. In Christ's name, we thank you and we give you praise. Amen.